Hello and welcome to The Word from My Hermitage. My name is Father Clint Honkamp, and I come to you from my hermitage in the Priory of St. Pius V in Chicago, Illinois. Today the Church celebrates the Baptism of the Lord. It is Sunday, January 11th. The passage that I'm going to reflect on today is from the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew writes, "Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John tried to prevent him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you, and yet you are coming to me?' Jesus said to him in reply, 'Allow it now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness.' Then he allowed him." Today, as we celebrate the baptism of the Lord, the Christmas season comes to its quiet and solemn completion. It ends not with angels singing above Bethlehem, nor with shepherds keeping watch at night, but with a very different scene. Jesus standing among sinners on the banks of the Jordan River, the one whose birth we celebrated, God from God, light from light, now steps into the muddy waters of human repentance, and he does so with deliberate intention. We hear that Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. This movement, this journey southward, is not simply geographical. It is the first public action of Jesus' adult life, and it is an action of descent, of humility. John, who has spent his ministry calling sinners to repentance, sees Jesus approaching and immediately senses the paradox. I need to be baptized by you, and yet you are coming to me? If anyone in history understood who Jesus was, it was John. He knows the hearts of men. He knows the weight of sin. He knows that Jesus bears none of it. So his protest arises naturally from reverence. But Jesus answers with words that seem simple, but contain unfathomable depth. Allow it, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. In the scriptures, righteousness does not mean merely a moral checklist or external conformity to rules. It means right relationship, right alignment with God's saving plan. Jesus is not baptized because he needs purification. He is baptized because we do. He enters the waters so that he might sanctify every person who will enter them after him. He steps into the river not to be cleansed, but to cleanse, not to repent, but to lift repentance into a doorway of grace. He places himself among sinners so that no sinner will ever fear to draw near to him. By this act, he fulfills righteousness. He aligns himself with the Father's plan of solidarity and redemption. He begins his mission not by separating himself from us, but by standing shoulder to shoulder with us in our weakness. After Jesus comes up from the water, Matthew tells us that the heavens were opened. This phrase appears rarely in Scripture. It signals a new chapter in salvation history. The Spirit descends like a dove, gentle, hovering, reminiscent of the Spirit hovering over the waters at the dawn of creation. Christ's baptism, then, is not merely a ritual moment. It is the inauguration of a new creation. A new world begins to dawn. Israel's long story reaches its turning point. And then the Father speaks. He speaks not thunderous condemnation, but commands, not commands or demands, but a word of delight. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. At the baptism of Jesus, the entire Trinity is revealed. The Father speaks, the Son stands in the water, the Spirit descends. Here at the Jordan, the inner life of God opens itself to the world. Communion, relationship, love poured out. But there is another dimension, quieter yet deeply consoling. When Jesus is baptized, he not only reveals who he is, he reveals who we are in him. Everything Jesus touches, he transforms. When he touches water, the water becomes the womb of divine life. When he enters the river becomes the gateway to adoption. When he accepts baptism, baptism becomes a sacrament that names us children of God. The words spoken over Jesus, "This is my beloved Son," echo over every one of us who has passed through those waters. You are beloved. You are chosen. You are known to God with a love older than the stars. So many of us live as though we are tolerated by God, as though he bears with our flaws and hopes we improve. But at our baptism, God did not say, "This is my project." No, he said, "This is my beloved." The baptism of Christ also gives us a pattern for the spiritual life. First, humility. The Son of God did not cling to his dignity, but entered the line of sinners. True holiness does not elevate us above others. It draws us deeper into compassion. A humble heart makes room for grace. Second, obedience. Jesus says, "Allow it now." He chooses the Father's will even when it does not advance his earthly honor. There is always some part of the Father's plan that confounds our logic. Obedience becomes the gateway to transformation. Third, solidarity. Jesus begins his ministry in community with the broken. He does not save from a distance. He saves from within. Our baptism calls us to this same posture, to stand with those who struggle, to carry one another's burdens. Before Jesus preaches a single sermon or works a single miracle, the Father names him beloved. Our mission, too, begins not in achievement, but in identity. We act from belovedness, not towards it. On this feast, the Church invites us not merely to remember Jesus' baptism, but to renew our own. Whether we were baptized as infants or adults, the grace given to us was not a one-time event. It is a living, breathing relationship that desires to be awakened. The waters of our own baptism still run through our soul. The Spirit who descended upon Jesus still rests upon us. The Father who spoke on the day still speaks our name. And so our task is simple and lifelong, to live as beloved children, to let our decisions, our prayers, our compassion, our courage spring from that identity. At the Jordan River, Jesus stands in the place of sinners, not to condemn, but to lift us into the light. He allows himself to be immersed so that we might rise. He accepts the humanity of baptism so that we might receive the dignity of adoption. My dear friends, as we contemplate this mystery, may we hear again the voice that spoke over the river bank, "You are my beloved. You are my beloved." Yet that word became the ground on which you stand, the truth by which you walk, and let the consolation that carries you through every season of life be that word. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, who entered the Jordan's waters to stand with us in our need, immerse us again in your mercy. Help us to walk in humility, to embrace your will, and to live as beloved children of the Father. Amen. If you found a blessing in these words today, in this reflection, I invite you to share it with others and also invite them to join us each day here in my hermitage, where we reflect over the Word of God for our lives. May God bless you today and keep you safe. Amen.